Imagine embarking on a fascinating journey through the parables of Jesus, where each story is not just a lesson, but a riddle full of deep secrets and impactful revelations. Today, we will explore 10 of these enigmatic narratives, ready to change the way you perceive these millennial teachings. We begin with the parable of the sower. Visualize the different types of soil as mirrors of the states of our hearts. Now consider, what if, with faith and perseverance, even the most resistant hearts could be transformed into fertile grounds? The parable of the wheat and the tares leads us to reflect on the coexistence of good and evil. But what if this story also represented our internal struggles, those flaws we need to recognize and overcome? The tiny mustard seed that grows into a mighty tree symbolizes how faith can move mountains. However, this same story challenges us to think about the small daily actions that, although they seem insignificant, have the potential to provoke great transformations. And the net that captures all kinds of fish. While traditionally speaking of the final judgment, how about considering it an invitation to reflect on our spiritual journey, where we constantly evaluate our own actions? Entering the story of the prodigal son, we are reminded of the power of forgiveness and redemption. This parable deeply touches us by highlighting the importance of self-forgiveness and reconciliation. Finally, the 10 virgins warn us of the need for spiritual vigilance, but can also be seen as a lesson on always being prepared for the divine opportunities that arise. By re-examining these parables under new lights, we promise revelations that go beyond the obvious. Stay with us in this exploration, where each discovery promises to enrich your spiritual understanding even more. Today, we will dive deeper into one of Jesus's richest and most mysterious parables, the parable of the sower. Imagine a farmer scattering his seeds. As he spreads them, each seed meets a different fate on the soil, symbolizing the various ways people receive the word of God. First, we find the seeds that fall by the wayside. These are trampled and devoured by birds. They represent those who hear the divine message, but due to a lack of understanding or the distractions of daily life, quickly lose what they heard. Just as the seeds are quickly consumed by birds, these people allow temptations and external influences to dissipate the word before it can take root. Next, there are the seeds that fall on rocky ground. These sprout quickly, but wither just as quickly because they lack a firm foundation. This soil symbolizes those who receive the word with enthusiasm, but whose faith falters at the first difficulties or adversities, showing that faith without deep roots cannot withstand challenges. The seeds that fall among the thorns face a different challenge. They begin to grow, but are quickly choked by the surrounding thorns. These represent people who hear the word, but allow daily concerns, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things to overwhelm and suffocate the message. The parable is clear. For God's word to flourish in us, we must remove the thorns of life that compete for our attention and dedication. Finally, we come to the seeds that find their home in fertile soil. These seeds flourish, producing a splendid harvest, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. This rich soil symbolizes those who not only hear the word, but receive it with open and obedient hearts, allowing it to bear fruit in their lives. But what if we looked at this parable in a new light? What if we considered that the types of soil are not fixed and immutable? Imagine if the soil by the wayside could be cultivated, the rocky ground cleared of stones, and the thorns carefully removed. This suggests that, with effort and dedication, each of us has the power to transform our hearts into fertile soil, fit to receive and nurture God's word. The parable of the sower is not just a narrative about receiving the divine word. It is a call to action. It challenges us to examine the current state of our hearts and actively work on removing obstacles that impede our spiritual growth. By doing so, we can become the fertile soil that not only absorbs, but also abundantly multiplies the fruits of faith, enriching our lives and those of the people around us. Let's address a topic of extreme importance. the dangers of spiritual superficiality. Let's explore how the lack of depth in faith can not only jeopardize our spiritual life, but also prevent us from establishing a true connection with God. Imagine a man who decides to build his house on the sand. Initially, the construction is quick and everything seems stable. However, when storms and strong winds arrive, the house quickly collapses due to a lack of a solid foundation. This image, used by Jesus, serves to illustrate the risks of a superficial faith. Without deep roots, any challenge can shake us, causing us to lose our spiritual direction. Superficiality is comparable to a plant growing in shallow soil. It may appear green and healthy temporarily, but without deep roots, it cannot sustain itself. Thus, when the scorching heat of adversity arises, the plant withers and dies. A lack of depth in faith puts us in a fragile position, where any difficulty can lead us to question and eventually abandon our beliefs. Moreover, superficial faith makes us vulnerable to the temptations and distractions of the world. When our connection with God is weak, we are more susceptible to seeking satisfaction in temporary and material pleasures, in an endless attempt to fill a void that never seems to be satisfied. This cycle can prevent us from finding the true peace and contentment that only God can offer. Another dangerous consequence of spiritual superficiality is hypocrisy. When our faith is merely superficial, we can easily fall into the trap of appearing spiritual on the outside while being empty inside. Jesus severely criticized the Pharisees who made great displays of piety, but whose hearts were far from God. They were like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside but full of death internally. To guard ourselves against the dangers of spiritual superficiality, it is essential to cultivate a deep and robust faith. Such an endeavor requires time, effort, and dedication. We must commit to studying the Word of God, praying regularly, and seeking true communion with Him. Additionally, it is crucial to integrate into a faith community, where we find encouragement and are challenged to grow spiritually. True spiritual depth strengthens us to face life's storms with confidence and peace, anchoring us firmly in God and protecting us from being swept away by the currents of circumstances and external influences. With deep faith, we can experience the fullness of life that God has to offer, a life with purpose, joy, and true satisfaction. Therefore, do not settle for superficial faith. Invest in your relationship with God, deepen your spiritual roots, and reap the fruits of a life firmly anchored in the unshakable rock that is Christ. There are three crucial themes for facing the challenges of spiritual life and persevering in faith: distractions and spiritual obstacles, and spiritual growth and fruitfulness. We will explore how adversity tests our faith, the dangers of worldly distractions, and how we can achieve a fruitful spiritual life. Consider how challenges test and often shake the initial faith of people. Imagine someone who receives the Word of God with enthusiasm at first. Their faith is vibrant and full of promises. However, when difficulties arise, health problems, financial struggles, or even opposition from family and friends, this faith is put to the test. It's easy to believe when everything is going well, but it is in times of crisis that the true depth of our faith is revealed. Perseverance in faith is comparable to gold refined by fire. Only through adversity can we truly strengthen our faith. Now let's reflect on spiritual distractions and obstacles. We live in a world full of material concerns and pleasures that constantly compete for our attention. Daily demands, such as work and family responsibilities, can easily divert us from our spiritual focus. Additionally, the pursuit of material pleasures can lead us to a life of superficiality, where wealth, status, and entertainment, although attractive, distance us from our true connection with God. Jesus warned us about the thorns that choke the seed, symbolizing these distractions that can hinder our spiritual growth. Now consider spiritual growth and fruitfulness. When the Word of God is received deeply and genuinely, it has the power to transform our lives. This is exemplified by the fertile soil that produces an abundant harvest. True faith, deeply rooted, results in spiritual growth, which manifests in actions and attitudes that reflect the character of Christ. This growth is a continuous process that involves learning, applying, and living God's teachings. The impact of this spiritual fruitfulness is vast, influencing not only our own lives, but also those of those around us. By living according to God's word, our lives become a vibrant testimony of His grace and love. These three aspects, challenges and perseverance, distractions and obstacles, growth and fruitfulness, are fundamental to our spiritual journey. When facing adversities, we must remember that our faith is being refined. We must be vigilant against the worldly distractions that try to divert us from God. Above all, we must strive to grow and produce fruit, allowing the Word of God to transform our lives in deep and lasting ways. Let's dive into the powerful parable of the Good Samaritan, a narrative that transforms our understanding of neighbor and underscores the importance of love and compassion. Prepare for a journey that challenges us to see beyond appearances and to reach out to others regardless of our differences. A man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, a notoriously dangerous journey, full of winding curves and frequented by bandits. In one of these curves, he was brutally assaulted. The robbers beat him, stole his belongings, and left him at the brink of death. While he lay injured and helpless, three distinct men passed by the same path. The first, a priest who by his position should exemplify compassion, upon seeing the fallen man, chose to avoid his path and move on, perhaps fearing contamination that would make him impure, or simply to avoid the inconvenience. Next, a Levite, an assistant in the temple, also came across the scene. He looked at the injured man, but likewise decided to continue without offering help, leaving the man to his fate. Finally, a Samaritan, who is crucial to understand, was despised by the Jews, seen as impure and heretical. However, it was this very Samaritan, from whom no one would expect such an attitude, who stopped to help, moved by genuine compassion. He approached, treated the man's wounds with oil and wine, and carefully placed him on his own animal. He took him to an inn and cared for him overnight. Before continuing his journey the next day, the Samaritan gave the innkeeper 2 silver coins and asked him to take care of the man. He promised to reimburse any additional expenses upon his return. This story challenges us to reflect on who our neighbor truly is and the importance of empathy and selfless action, highlighting the universality of love and mercy. The Samaritan's action was not limited to a mere momentary gesture of kindness. It was a demonstration of ongoing commitment to selfless care, transcending whoever the needy person might be. The core of this parable is a message of true, clear, and transformative love that overcomes cultural, religious, and social barriers. In this narrative, a neighbor is not defined by physical proximity or family ties, but identified by need and the act of mercy. Jesus employed this impactful story to answer the question of who our neighbor really is, challenging us to overcome our divisions and prejudices. The Good Samaritan teaches us that compassion should be the hallmark of our lives. It is essential to be ready to stop, observe, and act for the benefit of those in need, no matter their backgrounds or identities. This act of love and compassion distills the true essence of what it means to follow Christ. We are reminded that being a disciple of Christ transcends mere words or rituals. It manifests in the active practice of kindness and extending a hand to those in need, reflecting the mercy and love that He taught. Have you heard the parable of the prodigal son? This story is a profound illustration of God's unconditional love and inexhaustible forgiveness. It invites us to reflect on reconciliation, redemption, and the celebration of the return of those who were lost. Imagine a man who had 2 sons. The younger one, restless and eager to explore the world, made a bold request to his father. He wanted his share of the inheritance in advance. This request, in essence, was an act of great disrespect, almost as if he wished his father dead to get what was due to him. Despite this, the father, with a generous heart, granted the inheritance to the son. With the inheritance in hand, the younger son went off to a distant country. There he lived a reckless life, squandering everything on fleeting pleasures and transient friendships. It didn't take long for his resources to run out, and a severe famine struck that land. Desperate and penniless, he found work feeding pigs, an extremely humiliating occupation for any Jew. Starving, he longed to eat even the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. In the midst of this misery, he reflected on his situation. He remembered his father and how even the workers in his house had an abundance of bread while he was dying of hunger. Determined to return, he rehearsed his repentance speech. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Filled with compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. The father barely let the son finish his confession. Instead of reprimanding him, he ordered the best robe to be brought, a ring to be placed on his finger, and sandals on his feet. He also commanded the fattened calf to be killed, and a great feast prepared, proclaiming, "This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Meanwhile, the older son, who was working in the field, came home and heard the music and dancing. Upon learning of his brother's return and the celebration, he became angry and felt unjustly treated for never having received a similar feast, despite his constant loyalty to his father. With love and patience, the father explained that everything he had was already the older son's, but it was necessary to celebrate the return of the brother who was dead and had come back to life, who was lost and was found. The parable of the prodigal son reveals the immeasurable depth of God's love and forgiveness. The father in the story represents God, always willing to forgive and celebrate the return of those who repent, no matter how far they have strayed. The prodigal son symbolizes those who drift away from God, but upon recognizing their errors, find his grace and mercy. The older son reminds us that God's mercy is for everyone and that we should rejoice in the redemption of the lost. A powerful reminder that divine forgiveness is a gracious and inclusive gift. Let's delve into the touching parable of the Good Shepherd, where Jesus reveals himself as the dedicated shepherd who loves and protects his sheep with profound personal sacrifice. This narrative highlights the intense relationship between the shepherd and his sheep, symbolizing Jesus's meticulous care for each of us. Imagine a shepherd who knows the name of each of his sheep. He is not a mere hired hand who sees them as numbers. He has an intimate bond with them, understands their peculiarities, and is ready to do whatever it takes to ensure their safety. This shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures and still waters, providing everything they need to thrive. What truly distinguishes this shepherd is his unwavering dedication to the safety of the flock. In the face of a threat, like a prowling wolf, he does not hesitate to place himself between the danger and his sheep. Unlike the hireling who flees at the first sign of risk, the Good Shepherd confronts the threat, willing to sacrifice his own life to protect the sheep. In the figure of the Good Shepherd, Jesus reveals not only his readiness to lay down his life, but also his deep commitment to the well-being of each of his sheep, with special attention to those who stray. He never abandons a lost sheep to chance. On the contrary, he leaves the secure flock behind and sets out in search of the stray facing challenging terrain and imminent dangers. His rescue mission demonstrates not only courage, but a love that transcends the normal expectations of a shepherd. When he finally finds the lost sheep, he carries it on his shoulders with joy, not out of obligation, but from a genuine delight in the recovery of what was lost. This attitude reflects the essence of the shepherd's unconditional love and absolute devotion to his flock. Moreover, the parable of the Good Shepherd emphasizes the special connection between him and the sheep. This bond is based on mutual recognition and trust. The sheep know the shepherd's voice as a signal of safety and guidance. They follow him, knowing he will lead them to safe pastures and still waters. This symbolic relationship between Jesus and his followers is built on trust and familiarity. He knows us intimately, calling us by name and guiding us with wisdom and love. We, in turn, respond to his call with faith, allowing him to guide us through life's challenges and dangers. The parable of the Good Shepherd offers a profound depiction of Jesus' sacrificial commitment, emphasizing that he is more than a leader. He is a dedicated guardian and personal guide. He sees beyond our immediate needs to ensure our eternal well-being. This portrayal of Jesus as the Good Shepherd encourages us to place our trust completely in him, confident that he will always provide us with protection, guidance, and spiritual abundance. Consider the parable of the wheat and the tares, a profound allegory that teaches us about the simultaneous persistence of good and evil, as well as the divine patience that guides us to wait for the right time for justice. This narrative challenges our understanding of fairness and stimulates our trust in God's designs. Imagine a meticulous farmer who plants high-quality wheat seeds in his field. Under the cover of night, a cunning adversary mixes tare seeds among the wheat. The tares, a weed that resembles wheat in its early stages, complicates the task of distinguishing one from the other until both mature. When the field workers notice the invasion of tares, they propose to pull them out immediately, concerned about the contamination of the wheat. However, the farmer advises them to wait, explaining that the hasty removal of the tares could also destroy the young wheat. He instructs them to let both grow together until the harvest, when it will then be safe to separate the tares from the wheat. At harvest time, the reapers are instructed to first gather the tares, bind them and burn them, thus eliminating the evil definitively, while the wheat is carefully stored in the barn, symbolizing the preservation and reward of the righteous. This farmer's approach reflects God's patience and prudence, recognizing the complexity of human nature, where good and evil often coexist intricately. In our eagerness for immediate justice, we may fail to realize that hasty actions can lead to undesirable collateral damage. God, in his wisdom, chooses to allow both to grow together, providing time for everyone to reach redemption. The parable also emphasizes God's mercy, offering everyone the chance for change and conversion. The tares, initially representing evil or the wayward, are given time to transform, symbolizing the hope of redemption for all. When the final moment of separation arrives, it is a manifestation of divine justice, where God's patience is revealed as a strategy for maximum salvation. Therefore, the parable of the wheat and the tares teaches us to trust in God's timing and plan, cultivating patience and faith in our spiritual journey, assured that in the end, justice will prevail, with evil being removed and good ultimately triumphing. Let's explore the engaging parable of the Great Banquet, a story that highlights God's boundless generosity and universal inclusion in the kingdom of heaven. This parable invites us to examine our own priorities and how open we are to the divine message. Imagine a wealthy man who decides to host a grand banquet. He prepares a splendid feast filled with delicious food and abundant drinks and sends out invitations to many guests. When everything is ready, he sends his servants to call the guests, announcing that it is time to celebrate. However, one by one, the guests begin to refuse the invitation. One claims to have bought a field and needs to inspect it. Another has just bought 5 pairs of oxen and wants to test them. A third excuses himself, saying that he has just gotten married. Each guest places their personal concerns and interests above the generous invitation, leading the host to feel frustrated with so many excuses. In response, he instructs his servants to quickly go through the streets and alleys of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The servants obey and fulfill the order, but there is still room at the banquet. The host then orders them to go out into the roads and country lanes and invite everyone they find, insisting that they come so that his house may be completely filled. This parable illuminates the magnificent generosity of God, portraying the kingdom of heaven as a splendid banquet, open to all, regardless of their socioeconomic or physical condition. God transcends all barriers. He extends a universal invitation for everyone to join his eternal celebration. The first guests, who declined the invitation, symbolize those so absorbed in their personal concerns and possessions that they miss the opportunity to respond to the divine call. These figures serve as a warning about how everyday distractions can divert us from the path leading to God. It is vital not to let worldly obligations prevent us from accepting the invitation to the kingdom of heaven. The inclusion of the marginalized and despised in society in the banquet highlights the message that God's love is universal. He extends his grace to all, especially those often forgotten or rejected by the world. This challenges us to examine our own hearts and attitudes, ensuring that we exclude no one and mirror divine generosity and inclusion in our own lives. The host's order to fill his house with guests reflects God's ardent desire to see his kingdom filled with redeemed souls. He calls us to be his messengers, spreading the message of love and salvation to every corner of the world. The parable of the great banquet reminds us of God's mission to welcome everyone without reservation, a powerful call to accept this gracious offer and share this good news universally, without exception. Explore the touching parable of the lost sheep, which illustrates God's deep love for humanity and his tireless pursuit of the lost. This story immerses us in the essence of divine care and compassion. Imagine a shepherd who tends to 100 sheep in green pastures, knowing and loving each one of them. One day, while counting the flock, he discovers that one sheep has strayed and is lost. For many, losing one out of 100 might seem trivial, but not for this shepherd. Determined to recover the lost sheep, he leaves the 99 safely in the field under the care of an assistant and sets out on an unrelenting search. He traverses valleys, climbs hills, and enters dense forests, facing dangers at every step, his heart anxious for the sheep's safety. After a long search, he hears a distant bleat. Following the sound, he finds the sheep trapped in a rocky crevice. Without hesitation, he rescues it, tends to its wounds, and places it on his shoulders. Relieved and overflowing with joy, the shepherd returns home, carrying the sheep with care. Upon arrival, he calls friends and neighbors to share his happiness. "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." His joy is contagious, and everyone joins in the celebration. This moment of joy and reconciliation symbolizes the heavenly feast that occurs when a sinner repents and returns to God. The parable underscores that each person is infinitely valuable to God. Even when we stray and get lost, he never abandons us. His love is so deep and unconditional that he is willing to seek us out, no matter how far we may have wandered. The lost sheep represents each of us in moments of confusion and transgression, and the shepherd is the image of Jesus, the good shepherd, who comes to our rescue. This story teaches us about the joy of redemption and repentance. Every time a sinner returns to God, a celebration erupts in heaven. The parable of the lost sheep invites us to reflect on God's tireless and unwavering love, reminding us that no matter how lost we may be, there is always hope and redemption through his eternal love. Imagine 10 virgins invited to a grand wedding feast, all waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom, symbolizing Christ. Each carries a lamp, essential for lighting the way in the darkness of the night. 5 of these virgins are wise. In addition to the lamps, they bring extra oil, anticipating the possibility of a prolonged wait. The other 5, however, are foolish and take only the lamps, without any reserve of oil. As the night progresses, all of them end up falling asleep while waiting. Suddenly at midnight, a cry rings out, "The bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." At this moment, all the virgins wake up and prepare their lamps. The wise, with their extra oil, quickly light their lamps and are ready to meet the bridegroom. On the other hand, the foolish realize that their lamps are going out. Without extra oil, they panic. Desperate, the foolish virgins ask the wise ones for some of their oil, but they, concerned about not having enough for themselves, refuse and advise the others to buy more oil. While the foolish virgins go out to buy oil, the bridegroom arrives. The wise virgins, prepared and vigilant, accompany him to the feast and enter with him, and the door is shut behind them. When the foolish virgins return and find the door closed, they knock desperately and cry out, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But the bridegroom replies, "I do not know you." The feast continues joyfully while they remain outside, lamenting their lack of preparation. This parable underscores the vital importance of being prepared and vigilant in our spiritual journey. The lamps that the virgins carry symbolize our faith and actions that light our way, while the oil represents the grace and continual presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The wise virgins exemplify the need to maintain a constant relationship with God, nurtured by devoted study of the scriptures and practice of good deeds. In contrast, the foolish virgins warn us about the risks of spiritual neglect. They symbolize those who fail to adequately prepare for the encounter with Christ, delaying the pursuit of a genuine life of faith until it is too late. Their lack of oil underscores the importance of living out faith, not just in times of crisis, but consistently, day by day. The arrival of the bridegroom at midnight is a metaphor for the unexpected return of Christ, whose timing no one can predict. Therefore, we are called to live in a state of constant vigilance and spiritual readiness. This parable invites us to ensure that when Christ returns, we are ready to follow him to the eternal feast of the kingdom of heaven, securing our place alongside him in the celestial celebration. Let us delve into the impactful parable of the rich man and Lazarus, a story that challenges our perceptions of compassion, justice, and the realities of heaven and hell. This narrative invites us to reflect on the true meaning of living a life with purpose and mercy. Imagine a rich man, dressed in purple and fine linen, living in great opulence. He enjoys splendid feasts daily, savoring the finest things life has to offer. Meanwhile, at his gate lies a beggar named Lazarus, covered in sores and longing for the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. The only companions he has are the dogs that come to lick his sores. The contrast between their lives couldn't be more stark. The rich man lives in luxury, oblivious to Lazarus's dire need and suffering in extreme misery. Eventually, both die. Lazarus is carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort and peace. On the other hand, the rich man finds himself in torment in Hades. From his place of suffering, he sees Lazarus by Abraham's side and cries out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Abraham responds, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in torment. Besides, there is a great chasm between us that prevents anyone from crossing from here to you or from there to us." Continuing the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, now tormented in Hades, pleads for Lazarus to be sent to his father's house to warn his five brothers, to prevent them from ending up in that place of torment. However, Abraham replies that they already have Moses and the prophets to guide them. The rich man insists that if someone from the dead goes to them, they will surely repent. Abraham concludes with a poignant observation. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. This parable directly confronts us with the reality of divine justice and the enduring consequences of our choices. Despite his abundance, the rich man failed to show compassion and care for Lazarus, who suffered greatly at his gate. His indifference and selfishness led him to a fate of eternal suffering. In contrast, Lazarus, who endured terrible trials on earth, finds comfort and peace in the afterlife. The story highlights that true wealth is not found in the accumulation of material possessions, but in how we treat others and live our lives aligned with divine principles of justice and compassion. Furthermore, the parable emphasizes the importance of hearing and responding to God's teachings while we have the opportunity. After death, there are no second chances. The choice to live a life filled with love, compassion, and justice must be made now. The narrative of the rich man and Lazarus serves as a powerful reminder of the need to live with purpose, showing compassion for the needy and paying attention to God's teachings. This parable challenges us to reflect on our own lives and the urgency of adopting an attitude of mercy and spiritual responsibility while we still have time. Let's dive deeper into the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, a story that outlines a powerful contrast between self-righteousness and true humility before God. This narrative challenges us to reflect on our attitudes and the sincerity of our devotion. Imagine two men going up to the temple to pray. The first, a Pharisee, a member of a religious group known for their strict observance of the law. The second, a tax collector, a despised figure seen as a traitor for collaborating with the Roman oppressors. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prays proudly, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, thieves, adulterers, unjust, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give tithes of all I get." He considers himself superior, comparing himself favorably to others and glorifying himself for his religious practices. In contrast, the tax collector stands at a distance, not even daring to look up to heaven. In a gesture of deep humility, he beats his chest and cries out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." His prayer is marked by simplicity and sincerity, acknowledging his flawed condition and desperate need for forgiveness. Jesus concludes the parable with a revolutionary lesson. "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." True justification does not come from works or comparative self-assessment, but from genuine humility and the recognition of our need for grace. The Pharisee's prayer serves as a classic example of self-righteousness. He places confidence in his own actions and believes that his religious practices elevate him above others. However, his prayer reveals not only a lack of love and compassion, but also a greater focus on self-promotion than on establishing a true connection with God. This attitude of superiority and judgment creates a significant barrier to authentic communion with the divine. In contrast, the tax collector's prayer is an example of true humility. Aware of his faults and sins, he does not seek to justify or hide them in his prayer. His sincerity and genuine repentance draw him closer to God, demonstrating that real devotion emerges from recognizing our imperfection and continuously seeking mercy. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector teaches us that God is not impressed by outward displays of piety, but values a humble and contrite heart. It challenges us to examine our own attitudes and foster a sincere relationship with God based on humility and the recognition of our dependence on His grace. To transform these teachings into concrete actions, start by examining your heart. Acknowledge your faults and seek God's mercy with humility. Practice active compassion, helping those in need and showing love to others regardless of differences. Keep your faith alive and vigilant, preparing spiritually for life's challenges and the imminent return of Christ. Trust in divine judgment and live according to God's teachings, knowing that true justice will be realized in His due time. Throughout our journey, we have explored deeply meaningful parables. We began with the story of the Good Samaritan, which taught us about true compassion, passion, and love, challenging us to look beyond differences and extend a helping hand to those in need. We also learned from the parable of the prodigal son about God's unconditional love and forgiveness, welcoming us back with joy regardless of our deviations and mistakes. We reflected on the parable of the wheat and the tares, which addressed divine patience and the coexistence of good and evil, urging us to trust in God's final judgment. Through the parable of the 10 virgins, we understood the importance of preparation and spiritual vigilance, keeping our lamps lit and our oil ready for the bridegroom's arrival. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus confronted us with issues of justice and compassion, reminding us that our actions in this life have eternal consequences. The parable of the lost sheep showed us God's relentless love that seeks and rescues each one of us when we are lost. And we cannot forget the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which taught us about true humility before God, contrasting self-righteousness with sincerity and genuine repentance. Now we reflect on what we have learned and how we can apply these teachings in our daily lives. Parables are calls to action, urging us to live with more love, compassion, humility, and spiritual vigilance. They challenge us to be better, not only for ourselves, but also for those around us.